We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
And 105.1 FM.
All right, it's time for the first ever FM version of Joey Harrington on The Fan. Can you believe that, Joey? We are now on the FM. Hold on.
No. How can you? I'm trying to think about, like, I'm having too many thoughts go through my head. This is like, you can't triple stamp a double stampy thing, but like, how can, or it's no, it's not, it's more of the, you can't even get a good workout in 6 minutes. It's got to be 7 minute abs. But how can you be 1080 The Fan?
We're not.
If you're on,
well,
FM.
I mean, well, we are 1080 The Fan.
We're everything now,
but we're also 105.1 The Fan now. Yeah. And those two stations make up the Fan Global Radio Network.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Hold on, hold on. Do I have to record a new song?
Yes.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
actually do.
Yeah, you probably do.
Oh,
not probably.
God.
You do.
Yeah, you're going to have to. We don't even have Club 1080 anymore. It's just the club, because it's now 105.1. Even though 1080, you can still listen to us. It's very confusing. It's kind of like the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Is it one? Is it three? So that and some other reasons are why we're godlike.
Well, that's just a pie chart. I mean, that's all you're explaining there.
It's like a Venn diagram.
It's three pieces to make. No. It's just like a apple pie. It's like three pieces to make one. Like, that's very different. This is, like, what are you? Are you, so we are all, okay.
We're
so
global.
This is no longer story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Well, it is, but it's not.
It's story time with Joey on the Fan Radio Network.
That's dumb.
You're dumb.
That just sounds dumb.
Well, it's story time. It's story time with Joey on 105.1.
Does that sound better?
The Fan.
We're going to have to come up with a whole new jingle, a whole new melody. We're going to have to start from scratch, and then it's going to be like chord structure, and then we're going to get into like some like Coltrane type of stuff, and then we're going to be going off, like, we're going to be changing keys every measure, and then that's when the spiders come, and that's what we're all trying to avoid.
Well, Joey, we felt like maybe you had gotten complacent, and this is the sort of creativity, like, jump that you need. We're challenging you now.
My God.
Yeah,
I thought this would go better.
This is supposed to be summertime. Like, this is supposed to be, hey, let's just relax and put our feet up and, you know,
not anymore.
Have a few beers in the background, in the backyard, and, you know, water the flowers and talk about...
Nope.
How many sleeps into a college football? Like, no, like, this is, you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. Like, now I have to go back to work.
Yep. Yeah. Not anymore, buddy.
And by the
pressure's
way,
on.
You got to get to work, because I believe next week, I think starting Thursday, we have football every week now until like February.
What?
Yeah. Football's here.
It's not August yet.
No, I'm telling you, it's either...
Well, it's preseason NFL.
It's preseason, but still, we have football.
Yeah,
but that starts in August, though.
Well, next Thursday is August.
Start like...
Isn't it?
Today's the 25th.
It's August this week?
31st.
Yes. Next week...
Thursday's the 31st.
Yeah, Thursday's the 31st.
No.
July 31st. Next Friday will be August 1st. You will be talking to us next week on the 1st.
Who's winning?
What is going on here?
Yeah.
Summer's almost over.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the Hall of Fame game is indeed Thursday, July 31st. So, yes, this is the last Friday where we will not have football until, what, middle or end of February.
So we can call it Football Friday.
It will be Football Friday tomorrow.
I have a question for you.
Jack just asked me, he's like, oh, man, he said, I'm really looking forward to football season again. I was like, yeah, you still have a little, you know, a little ways to wait. Right. Apparently he doesn't.
No, he does not. It's go time.
Who's playing in the Hall of Fame game?
Wow. I think it's the Lions and the Chargers, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
But don't quote me on that. I'll have to look it up.
This week was a very difficult week for us Gen Xers, as we lost Theo Huxtable, Hulk Hogan, and Ozzy Osbourne in the same week.
Yeah.
Did any of those affect you more than the others?
I would probably say from most affected to least affected would be Theo Huxtable, Ozzy Osbourne, and then Hulk Hogan.
Were you a wrestling kid?
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it on Saturday mornings, you know, Junkyard Dog and Rowdy Roddy Piper and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and, you know, the Killer Bees and the Bushwhackers. Well, like, I mean, we got all that stuff. But, at a certain point for me, like, you got to, I don't know. We don't need to get into that. But Theo Huxtable, like, that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was because he's not that much. Like, there's a difference between being like 79 and, you know, hawking beer on the, you know, on the circuit, and just being with your family and drowning in a rip current. Like,
it's not good.
That was tough.
Yeah.
Although I will say, and good on him. I mean, maybe, hey, you know what? I'm gonna give myself a little pat on the back. Good on me for raising a kid who, in the same week, I walked by Jack's room and he was listening to Black Sabbath and he was listening to James Taylor, both in the same week.
Oh,
and then with like and then he's got his Travis Scott and then what's the other Zach Bryant, like. I'm doing an okay job here. Like, you know, exposing him to all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, that's good parenting.
Yeah, that is good. Because I think a lot of the youth maybe aren't familiar with the work of Ozzy, and they should be. Like, there's a difference between, like, not necessarily being into hard rock or metal, but you should know who Ozzy and Black Sabbath.
Now, would he have been listening to that before the death of Ozzy Osbourne?
You know, I'm not sure. I know that he would have been familiar with it.
Yeah.
It was we had a funny conversation. He's like, Dad, there's this song. Have you heard the song Mexico? I was like, you mean by James Taylor? He's like, yeah, it's really good. I was like, oh, interesting. Cause that's not even my generation. That's like the generation before me. And I was listening to, you know, when I was your age, he was the old guy then. So like now he's like double old and you're telling me about him, which is super cool. But yeah, I don't know that he would have necessarily been able to pick out Ozzy Osbourne, but I know that he would have, he has listened to it, and just been like, oh, I like that. That's cool.
Well, that was like when I was a kid, I think Freddie Mercury died when he died in 91. So yeah, 12, 13, right in that range. And same thing. I was familiar with Queen, you know, Queen's Greatest Hits was something that, you know, you got on those BMG music ones. And then Wayne's World, Bohemian Rhapsody, that kind of introduced Queen to a lot of people. But when Freddie died, I remember that being a big deal. Like, I remember MTV News, like, covering that, like, Kurt Loder. And that's what, and Queen's one of my favorite bands. And I would say as a kid, Freddie dying is kind of what got me down the Queen rabbit hole. Like, I was familiar with him, and then he died. And a year later, I would say that was, you know, as much as anything that I was listening to.
So you're saying that death brought about new life?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many people listened to Nirvana because Kurt Cobain died? I mean, they were huge. But there is something to when you pass, it really does kind of, that's a good term. It gives new birth to a lot of your music or work.
Maybe one of us can die and somebody will listen to our show finally.
Finally. Like, man, those guys. Wish I was around. Oh, you were. You just didn't listen.
You know, I hate to say it because I just had to, I had to look this up. You know, Theo Malcolm Jamal Warner was 54.
53. Oh, 54. Okay.
Yeah, and I was just looking up because I was thinking of a question in my head to ask you, like, if what would hit you hardest? What, you know, maybe artist or pop culture icon would hit you hardest. And then I thought, well, wait a minute, I know the answer to that because Joey's a huge Dave Matthews Band fan. So Dave is 58.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, that, which is bizarre.
He's 58?
Yes, he's 58.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's bizarre to think, you know, we're starting to lose people.
Yeah.
Younger than that? Can't get behind it.
I think
makes me sad.
But see, there's a difference between, for me at least, somebody dying. And I always said, like, the day James Taylor dies, like, you know, don't call me. Like, yeah. I'm going to be in a different place. Because there is something nostalgic. There's like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, there's an emotional attachment to that. Mm-hmm. But that's different for me, like, because with Theo, or Malcolm Jamal Warner, it was like, that's the guy that's my age.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's a guy that was on vacation with his kids. That's a guy that, while yes, I did watch him, like, there's a bit more of, like, being cognizant of your own mortality, like, mm-hmm. oh, that hits me different.
Right. Yeah.
Because yeah. that's not somebody who's, you know, oh man, I listened to James Taylor forever and there's so many moments, you know, graduations and he was 86 years old and hey, what a great life.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and what happened to Malcolm Jamal Warner, but that's just different.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
Yeah.
It's so true. I'm a huge Ozzy guy. I'm a big hard rock metal guy. And so Ozzy hurt, but to your point, I was almost like, dude,
how long had he lived with Parkinson's?
Exactly. Yeah. And he should have died 20 years ago. Right. But when Chris Cornell died, that was one of the very first ones, or maybe even Cornell. And then Petty did this for me too. It didn't seem right. Like, Chris Cornell was probably the first one that got me. Because I always think, like, when celebrities die, I'm like, and people get all emotional, I'm like, really? But Cornell dying got me. And I was like in a funk for a couple days. And then Petty got a little bit of that too, where it was unexpected. Whereas, you're right, 76, 80 years old, you've done everything, you've got Parkinson's.
Lots of acid.
Yeah, I mean, like, right? Like, every drug. Like, when Keith Richards dies, no one's going to be like, oh, it's so soon. No.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, but you're right. It's the young, you didn't see it coming, and it does kind of make you face your own mortality. Or, like, with Chris Cornell, it was suicide, and you're like, well, I've been depressed, and, you know, everyone's battled depression or time or two, and you're like, if it happens to that guy, yeah, it's a weird thing that makes you look inward.
Cornell was 52.
Yeah, that's not okay.
Petty only 66.
Yeah, yeah. It's not that those both were just, those were not, I was not okay.
Gone too soon.
Yeah. So Ozzy, it's like you can justify it because you're like, ah, you know, hey, it's 76 Ozzy years. Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Tying in drowning, we had to ask you a question before we get to something of substance about today being Drowning Prevention Day.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And, of course, we're talking about Theo. My question is, how do you prevent drowning short of being careful?
Learning how to swim, maybe?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people drown. They're not good swimmers, and they're out there anyways.
Just be better swimmers. Well, work on your swimming.
Well, no, I think that there is... Well, no, I'm gonna go one beyond here. Like, and maybe this was just because we spent time at the Oregon coast, but, like... We were taught what a rip current feels like.
Yeah.
We were taught, like, hey, this thing's coming, you know, you see that, you know, the brake comes in, and as it comes back out, you're coming diagonal across those things. Like, there are things to be aware of. Like, there's parts of the river, and, you know, remember a couple of years ago, Herman Ho-Ching, running back he was with us at Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Jumped into, I believe, it was the Clackamas River, and there's a spot there, and he jumped in, and he didn't come back up. But also knowing that spot where he was jumping in was historically a dangerous spot. I'm not going to be able to give you the details why, but I remember reading it and thinking, God, like, just... I know it seems fun, but just think, be aware, be like, and you never think, oh, it's, you know, it's not going to happen. Or you always think it's not going to happen to me, but, just being aware of the power of water, I think is part of educating yourself against drowning. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, that's good. You're taught that in Oregon. We were not taught that in Kansas.
No, I bet. Well, we rent a boat every year. A couple times we used to go out on the mighty Willamette, and you know, you go out and we'll go out in the Columbia, or we'll float the Sandy River, and you know, most people are drinking, and I always wear, and I'm a good swimmer. I grew up swimming. I'm like a manatee. I'm very comfortable swimming, but when I'm in those rivers and stuff, and especially if I've had a few pops, I always put a life jacket on, and I just always joke, it's easy. Like, you just float. Like, why would I want to sit there and tread water? It's like, it's a summer, you know, Sunday day. I've had a few drinks, put a life jacket on. You'd be amazed at how many people think that that's like some sort of cowardly, like, they're like, why would, I'm like, dude, bad stuff can happen. Like, the water's cold. And I'm always surprised at how many people think that somehow wearing a life jacket in a river or a lake, if you're just hanging out, is somehow a bad move. I will never understand that.
Yeah. Hot death and drowning talk, fellas. All right.
Hey, be safe out there.
Get your weekend started.
Be safe.
Hey, okay, so Dante Moore. This is our friend Joey Harrington with us here each Friday, 5:30 on 105.1 The Fan. In the Fan Global Radio Network. Dante Moore.
It sure is not like 1080 anymore.
No, it is.
Let me know that.
It is. We're on 1080.
It's the same, but different.
You can ignore 105.1 if you'd like.
Yeah, you can.
We'll
I don't want to ignore it. I'm just bitter that I have to, like, I need a pay raise if I got to write a jingle.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
We'll work that in. We'll get you a free ham coupon.
Best of luck with that, by the way.
Yeah.
So must Dante Moore pick up where Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel left off for the Ducks to have the kind of season they want? That question kicks off next segment with Joey Harrington on 105.1 The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast? It's under 10 minutes. Check out MLB.com's morning lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
And 105.1 FM.
All right, we're back with Joey Harrington each Friday here on the Fan Radio Network. All right, let's talk some Ducks. It was Big Ten Media Day. And, you know, Dan Lanning is not saying Dante Moore is the starter, but sounds like Dante Moore is the guy people are talking about down there. My question to you, Joey, is you have had such great quarterback play the last handful of years with Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel. Is Dante Moore expected to pick up where they left off in order for Oregon to have the season that they want?
I think those two statements need to be separated out. Is Dante Moore expected to pick up where Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel left off? Dylan Gabriel, after 6 years of college football and more experience than anybody in the history of NCAA, and Bo Nix, who came in as a veteran transfer and played two seasons. I mean, there's no way to recreate that type, the type of game experience that our previous two quarterbacks had. You don't do it. So is he expected to come in and pick up where they left off? If he is, then you're expecting too much.
Hmm.
Now, that being said, you can win without the type of quarterback play that we had for the previous three seasons, because it was exceptional. Like, it was through the roof, as good as you're going to see. And you know, the three of us could probably sit here and go down, you know, it'd take a little bit of time to think about it. Do you have to have good quarterback play? Absolutely you do. You don't have to have the greatest quarterback. How about this? I mean, Marcus Mariota versus Cardale Jones, right?
Yeah.
Cardale Jones was a pretty good player. Came in and, you know, played some pretty good games and they beat us, right? There are different ways. I think for Dante Moore this year, if I'm coaching him, it is the key is you don't have to be anybody but yourself. You don't have to try and be Dylan. You don't have to try and be Bo. You don't have to try and be Herbert. You don't have to try and be anybody but you. And you has 1 year of college football experience at UCLA, and that's it. A heck of a lot of talent, right? But there's going to be a growth curve that happens with him. Now, the challenge for him, you know, if I'm coaching him, is make sure you get everything out of it that you can, and let's not be the reason why we don't win these games. Right? There's a difference between playing winning football, which is what Nick Saban and Jason Garrett, like, that was the message forever, and what the type of play that we had at the quarterback level for the last three seasons.
Fair. I mean...
well, okay, well, see you later.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that in college is so weird, because in the NFL, when you get a quarterback, you get a quarterback, right? Like, you get a great one. Josh Allen doesn't go anywhere, right? And so... Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. In college, you get him for maybe now 2 years, if you're lucky. So, I mean, it's like we just have this thing in college where I don't care who you are, Oregon, Alabama, whatever. You know, the fact that you got 3 years of that, so I'm with you. It's like, was Bo Nix, I just thought that was very well put. Bo Nix is not going to be Dylan Gabriel and vice versa. And sometimes it's a little bit better. Sometimes it's a little bit worse. But I think the idea for any of these quarterbacks is when you're at a place like Oregon, a place like Bama, Ohio State, the Cardale Jones one, the talent around you is usually so great that you really don't have to be anything other than yourself. You can play.
Exactly. And what I was about to say is Will Howard the best quarterback in college football last year?
No, but they won the national title.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
And he was really good.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's in an NFL camp right now.
Yep.
Right. And granted, he had plenty of experience from Kansas State. And I know it's not an apples to apples comparison, but my point is you don't have to be the best of the best.
Yeah.
You don't have to have your quarterback win the Heisman Trophy for you to go win the Big Ten, for you to have a shot in the college football playoffs. Like, just be really good, which is what he's supposed to be.
Yeah. I thought that was well put. I was kind of sitting there and like, where do I, kind of like kind of
you stumped him.
I did. I was like, you know,
Suk was speechless by your answer.
It was a little bit of the Billy or was the not Billy Madison, but the old school, the debate one, where you're like, that's really good. It's like really good. Like there was a lot of those points where I was just kind of sitting there and being like, yes, 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 yes. And then you get done and you're like, yeah, just be yourself. Don't try to be anything that you're not. And they're gonna. I would expect, too, coming out, that the run game will probably play a bigger role, and I'm guessing that early on, maybe you don't have the entire width of the offense that you had under the others, but as you go along and some of those training wheels come off, you grow and adapt, and also, you know that Oregon will tailor some of the things in their offense to what Dante Moore does. I'm guessing, and Bo was a really good athlete, but Dante Moore will be a better athlete than either one of the two guys that came before him, so... You know, that could be another thing, too, is the offense changes and evolves a little bit around Dante Moore's skill set.
Sure. I like it.
You're the best. You know that?
I know. I mean, thanks.
Thank you. We will talk to you next week on the Fan Radio Networks.
Do I have to give me a deadline? When do I have to have the jingle done by?
Well, I would think
Friday.
I would think, whoa. Well, I was going to give you some more time. Look at Rob coming in off the top.
Well, let's go.
Yeah. He's putting you right to work.
Pressure's on, man. It's go time. We're on the FM now.
Okay. Here we go. In the spirit and in honor of Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Okay.
And the great 80s sitcom that he was a part of. One thing that's missing from entertainment television today is the opening. You know, the opening song, you know, the song.
The theme song.
The jingle? Theme song. Yeah.
I love
it.
Yeah,
but it's more
song.
Than a jingle.
That's theme
it's,
song.
It's more than a jingle. Like, it's a full, you know, as the days go. I mean, you can go down the, you know, fact.
Show me that smile again.
Show me that smile.
Don't miss another minute.
Minute while you're crying, we're nowhere near the end.
Do you know that song was sung by
ready to
Alan
begin.
Thicke?
Alan Thicke.
We
got the world spinning right in our hands, baby. Rain or shine, all the time. We got each other.
No. You forgot you and me. It gotta be. The luckiest dreamer
could dream
as long as we got, see, they keep on living. Then it goes to that part. See? Yeah, now, like, okay, see, now I got my marching orders.
Let's get you in the studio.
We're going full theme song. Yes. We're going full theme song.
Yes, oh, that's great. Yes.
All right, sir. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Joey, you gotta go
right back.
Yeah, Ryan.
Ryan, I just want to see the theme song now.
I love a good theme song. He's not wrong about that.
I'm walking on air.
Yeah. Coming up next in the club, those Thai monks be getting down.
Ooh.
On 105.1 The Fan.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.